Our scripture reading comes this morning from the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 8 through 30. At that moment, some Chaldeans came forward, seizing a chance to attack the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king! Your majesty, you gave a command that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, lyre, harp, flute, and every kind of instrument should bow down and worship the gold statue. Anyone who wouldn't bow and worship would be thrown into a furnace of flaming fire. Now there are some Jews, ones you appointed to administer the province of Babylon, specifically Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have ignored your command. They don't serve your gods, and they don't worship the gold statue you've set up." In a violent rage, Nebuchadnezzar ordered them to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I've set up? If you are now ready to do so, bow down and worship the gold statue I've made when you hear the sound of horn, pipe, zither, lyre, harp, flute, and every kind of instrument. But if you won't worship it, you will be thrown straight into the furnace of flaming fire. Then what god will rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "We don't need to answer your question. If our God, the one we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of flaming fire and from your power, your majesty, then let him rescue us. But if he doesn't, know this for certain, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up." Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and his face twisted beyond recognition because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In response, he commanded that the furnace be heated to 7 times its normal heat. He told some of the strongest men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of flaming fire. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound, still dressed in all their clothes, and thrown into the furnace of flaming fire. Now the king's command had been rash, and the furnace was heated to such an extreme that the fire's flame killed the very men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to it. So these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of flaming fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped in shock and said to his associates, "Didn't we throw three men bound into the fire?" They answered the king, "Certainly, your majesty." He replied, "Look, I see 4 men, unbound, walking around inside the fire, and they aren't hurt. The 4th one looks like one of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar went near the opening of the furnace of flaming fire and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. The chief administrators, ministers, governors, and the king's associates crowded around to look at them. The fire hadn't done anything to them. Their hair wasn't singed. Their garments looked the same as before. They didn't even smell like fire. Nebuchadnezzar declared, "May the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be praised. He sent his messenger to rescue his servants who trusted him. They ignored the king's order, sacrificing their bodies because they wouldn't serve or worship any god but their God. I now issue a decree to every people, nation, and language, whoever speaks disrespectfully about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God will be torn limb from limb, and their house will be made a trash heap, because there is no other God who can rescue like this." Then the king made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prosperous in the province of Babylon. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning we're going to be continuing our sermon series where we're looking at the Sunday school classics. The Sunday school classics are those biblical stories that are the ones that are usually taught to our children's first, especially if you buy a children's Bible, you know, that only has illustrated pictures of different Bible stories. And so usually those are the highlights or the ones that are told easiest to our youngest followers, of youngest believers. And so the neat thing about the Sunday school classics is they're also stories that connect with Christians of all ages, meaning that whether we hear them for the first time or we are hearing them for the 100th time, they're stories that we can pick out something and we can be reminded of the goodness of God, of the work of God, of the grace of God, and of what the story and how the story speaks to us. And so this morning, as you know from our scripture reading, we're going to be looking at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the book of Daniel. In a little bit, we're going to watch the video, and it's going to present to us the scripture. It'll be a kind of a summary, but there's something that I think we need to remember when we think about the story of Daniel. The book of Daniel occurs in the time of the Babylonian exile in the land of the, in the Middle East. And so the Babylonian exile is a term given to a few hundred years after the death of King Solomon. And it's called the exile because the people of Israel, the Jewish people, were forcibly removed from the land of Israel by two different countries at two different times or phases. So following the death of Solomon in 926 to 922 BC, the kingdom of Israel split in two, as you can see the illustration on the screen between the blue and the red. They split in two because Solomon's taxation was heavy, and he would not listen to the advice of his advisors who said, to unify the kingdom, you need to reduce your taxes. Solomon said, no, I'll make them even worse. And so it resulted in the 10 tribes in the north, or the northern tribes of Israel, seceding and forming the northern kingdom of Israel. That happened roughly 722 B.C., Or, no, it didn't. I'm sorry. That was 922 BC, and it lasted till 722 BC, so roughly 200 years, when the Assyrian Empire conquered and moved across the land and conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, and they destroyed the capital city of Samaria. The southern kingdom of Israel, which is the red one, which was called Judah, lasted another almost 200 years till 586 BC, when the Babylonians conquered the entire region in the Middle East and the Assyrians. The Babylonians destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They pulled down the temple. They took everyone of authority and everyone who was in a place of governance and other various officials and wealthy individuals from Judah, and they resettled them all across their land, and some of them went to Babylon, and so that's why we call this time the Babylonian captivity. And so the people of Judah who lived in Babylon attempted, some of them, to maintain the worship of the God of Israel, while others assimilated into the culture and into the community and into worshiping other gods and doing other things, even as they all yearned to return to the land of Judah. And so as part of this is where we find ourselves in the book of Daniel. Because King Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had taken these people, these young men from Judah and Jerusalem, and he had put them in positions of authority where they could oversee different areas, where they could work, where they could govern, where they could do the things that they needed to do in places of governance. And so that's where we find this morning's individuals, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so there are three Judean exiles who are selected to serve as part of Nebuchadnezzar's administration. And so the video we're going to watch is an illustration of the Bible story. It's kind of a summary, so it'll start a little ahead of our scripture reading this morning, but it'll help us to see and visualize what we're talking about this morning.
Press the red button. Sir, as you can see, they're being led off to Babylon.
And was impressed with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He quickly promoted these three men to positions of leadership within his government and gave them authority and power over many. They served as excellent leaders and gained the respect and admiration of the Babylonians. But not everyone liked them. They had enemies. Even though Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a foreign land, serving a foreign king and speaking a foreign language, they still served the one true God. As their power increased, their fellow Babylonian officials became jealous and soon plotted a scheme to get rid of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One day, these wicked, jealous officials proposed to King Nebuchadnezzar to build a giant statue in his likeness. It would be 90 feet tall and covered with gold. Everyone who saw it would then be commanded to bow down and worship it. These conspiring, wicked officials knew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would never bow to this statue. The king commanded all the people to come to the celebration and worship the golden image. The herald stood up and spoke to the people who were all looking up at the vast statue. When the music starts, you are commanded to fall down and worship the image. If you don't, you will be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace. And so it began. The music started, and everyone fell down on their faces, worshiping the golden image. All except for three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down. They stood tall above the bent-down crowd. Now the enemies of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had their chance. They ran to the king and said, "Oh, king, look! These Jews, whom you appointed to government positions, they are disobeying you. They refuse to worship the golden image." Nebuchadnezzar was furious. The three brave men responded, "O king, even if you throw us into the fiery furnace, our God will protect us. Even if God does not save us, we will never serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up." Nebuchadnezzar exploded with anger. He was enraged. He roared, "Heat the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. I want my strongest men to tie these men up and throw them into the furnace." They watched, expecting the men to burn up. But they saw something strange. The men were not burning. In fact, they were walking around in the fire like it was nothing. Nebuchadnezzar looked on in astonishment. "Didn't we throw 3 people into the fire? But I see 4 people. They aren't hurt, and the 4th one looks like a son of the gods." It was true. There was a 4th person in the fire, someone who was not an ordinary man. God was protecting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar came as close to the furnace as he could without burning himself up. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." The 3 men walked out of the fire. They weren't harmed at all. They didn't even smell like smoke. Nebuchadnezzar was a changed man. He gave a new command. "Anyone who speaks against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be punished. There is no other God but the true God who can rescue people like this." And he promoted the Israelite men even higher in his government.
So as the story showed, and as we've read in the scripture, Nebuchadnezzar has built this massive statue that's made of pure gold, and the sound of an instrument, all were to bow down and worship it wherever they were. And I'll be honest, I've often assumed, like the video showed, that the statue was just this big picture of the king, or this big statue of the king that was coated in gold. However, if you look at the passage of scripture, there are different biblical scholars that talk about whether the statue was truly a statue as we imagine it, like the Statue of Liberty, or if whether it was more of an obelisk that then had a statue of the king at the top. We know the dimensions of it. We know that it was 90 feet high, and we know that it was 9 feet across. And so this could mean that it's more like something like this on the right. But in any case, when we look at it and when we think about it, it really doesn't matter what it actually looked like. What matters is what the people were ordered to do whenever they heard the song of the music. And so we know from the scripture that when Nebuchadnezzar finds out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not worshiping and not bowing to the image, that he is upset. We don't know if he knew these men or if he had just had them appointed, as often happens in government and in places of authority where people are appointed to places of position, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they know who the person that they are serving under in a one-to-one relationship. But these men have been put in positions of power. And so Daniel 3, when we read it in verse 8, says that the people that turned them in are Chaldeans, which is another name for Babylonians. And so it could be that these are people who thought that they might be put in positions of power, who might thought that they might be given positions of authority, and they don't believe that these men from Judah should be put in these positions. It could be that they considered them foreigners, that they didn't believe that they should have a position of authority or a position in government because they were prisoners. And so if that's the case, then it makes sense for us to read this morning's story as we think that these men who turned them in likely looked at them and said, how could this person who is a prisoner and a foreigner be in a position of power, no matter how talented and no matter what their skills that they have and who they are? And so they go to Nebuchadnezzar and they complain and they tell him at the sound of the instrument, and they list the instruments. They say all are to bow down and there are those who are not bowing down. They say there are some Jews who you appointed to administer the province of Babylon, specifically Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have ignored your command. They don't serve your gods. They don't worship the gold statue that you've set up. And it says Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and he was in a violent rage, and he ordered the three men before him, and he questioned them. And their answer is something that we can look at today, where they say, we don't need to answer your question, which really goes over well. If our God, the one we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of flaming fire and from your power, your majesty, then let him rescue us. But if he doesn't, know this for certain, your majesty, we'll never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up. So basically they're saying, if God delivers us, wonderful, it's proof of that. But if God allows us to live, you need to know we're still going to worship God. See, Nebuchadnezzar's kind of giving this decision that they have to make of whether they're going to continue worshiping the God of Israel or whether they're going to choose to worship the God and to bow down to this image. But basically, they say, it doesn't matter what happens. Either way, whether we live or whether we die, our worship is still to be to God. They're going to continue believing in God, whether God delivers them from the fiery furnace or whether they perish from the flames. So they're taken, they're bound, they're thrown fully clothed into the furnace. And then when Nebuchadnezzar looks into the fire, he sees not three men there, but four walking through the fire unrestrained. And so he asks, were not three men thrown into the fire? And they say, yes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they're walking and they're untouched and they're unscathed, and there's this fourth person. So biblical scholars believe that the fourth person was a couple of different things. Depending on the commentary you read, there are some biblical scholars that think that the person that was walking amongst the flames was the angel Gabriel, who we read about in other portions of the scriptures. Gabriel, as you know, is the angel that appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to be with child in the book of Luke. There are other portions of the scripture where we can read that the angel Gabriel has come. Others believe it was a different angel. Others have said that the fourth man in the furnace was Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven in the person, you know, because he's God, so it's God coming down in the person of Jesus Christ to deliver these men from the fiery furnace. And here's where this story becomes a Sunday school classic. It's because the three men, when they're thrown in the fire, are not alone, and the clothes that they are wearing did not burn. The hair on their head did not get singed. And when they came out of the furnace, they didn't even smell like smoke. I don't know about you all, but if you have a fire bowl going in your backyard and you walk by it, what do you smell like, even if it was once? smoke. And so the only things that we read about in the scripture that were burned or released were the ropes that bound them. And so when Nebuchadnezzar came, he was amazed when he looked into the furnace and there were not three men but four. As God rescued and delivered these three young men of faith and made his glory and his power evident and visible even to the Babylonian king. It's the Sunday school classic because we have all found ourselves in places where we feel like we are in the furnace. Now, I'm not saying that we're physically in a furnace, but what I do mean is that we know what it is like to find ourselves in a place where everything that we are doing or needs to be done is being disrupted. It's being, incinerated. It's being torn apart. It's being a thing that knocks us off our track or keeps us from doing what we know we need to do, whether that's in our family life or our personal life or in our work life or in our church life or any of the lives that make up our life, any of the areas of our life that make up our life. As we've all found ourselves in the furnace, we've all found ourselves in a place where we feel like things maybe are hopeless, or maybe where we feel like there aren't many options. But yet in this story, we see that God uses the fire to free Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God uses his son Jesus to deliver them. See, God uses fire for a couple of ways. He uses it to refine us. If you look in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, it talks about how God is like a refiner's fire where silver is taken and the impurities are melted off, or as the silver is melted, the impurities rise to the surface and they're able to be removed. We can also see how God uses fire to free us. In the book of Daniel, as we've read this morning, to free us from the ropes or the things that hold us back and disrupt us and keep us from truly living. See, friends, this is a Sunday school classic because it's a story for us to look at and to see that even when we feel like we are in that place where things are just so disrupted that we don't know what our options are, we see that who meets us there? Jesus Christ meets us there. And he helps to refine us into who God wants us to be and to who we need to be in order to live in response to God's grace and in order to come out of the flames into a better life that God has given us. See, sometimes we find ourselves in the fire because of the choices we make. Sometimes we find ourselves in the fire because we're thrown into it like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. But whether it's by our choice or whether it's by someone else's, we find that we're not alone and that God is there with us. Because Jesus Christ joined Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego amongst the flames so that they could be delivered, so that they could come out and can continue to serve God and to speak of God and to point not just their eyes and the guards and the other people who are around them's eyes to God, but they pointed the very king eyes to God, who then said that there is no other God who could rescue like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, friends, I walk away from this story thinking this. Is that I know there are times that I'm going to feel like I'm in the furnace. But I can walk away knowing that even when I find myself in that place, Jesus Christ joins me there. It doesn't mean that it may be easy. It doesn't mean that it might at times be painful. But it gives us all hope. But we can know that the end is not the end, and that the flames are not the end, and that Christ gives us and offers us and delivers us a new beginning, as he did for Shadrach, Meshach,
and Abednego.